Well, let's look at Mark chapter 6 today. Mark chapter 6, if you have your place, let's all stand. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past." In other words, it was getting toward the end of the day. Jesus is teaching to a multitude of people. Verse 36, "Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" In other words, they were telling Jesus, "Jesus, we ain't got a little bit of change. How are we going to go and buy a few pennies worth of bread and feed this whole crowd?" And he said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by 100 and by 50s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. I'll let you be seated. During the month of November, this Thanksgiving month, we try to spend much time mentioning things, things that we're thankful for. And last Sunday morning, we just simply went around the auditorium and called out some things that we were thankful for. And some different ones in the auditorium said, "I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God." I think many people in the room, probably the overwhelming response was, "I'm thankful for my family." People said, "I'm thankful for God's mercy, I'm thankful for God's love, and I'm thankful for second chances." And we have so much to thank God for, but have you ever stopped to think about what Jesus is thankful for? Have you ever asked yourself, I know what I'm supposed to be thankful for, but what is Jesus thankful for? When Jesus was here on earth, what did he specifically give thanks for? And my thought today is, if we're supposed to be thankful, and we are, and we're supposed to be like Christ, and we are, if we look at what Jesus was thankful for and then give thanks for those things, then we will be thankful like Jesus. Does that make sense? If I'm supposed to be thankful, I'm supposed to be like Christ. If I look at Christ and see what he was thankful for, then when I give thanks for the things that he gave thanks for, then I'll be thankful just like Christ was. And today I want us to look at a few things that Jesus was thankful for while he was here on earth with us. First of all, I want you to see in our text that Jesus was thankful for given food. Food that had been given to him, or food that he would give away, food that he would divide, food that he would intake. Jesus was thankful for food. Here in our text in verse 41, we see Jesus feeding the 5,000. This is a familiar story. Many of the other disciples or writers of this story, they tell the part about the little lad that brought Jesus his lunch and said, "Hey, I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes if you can use it." And Jesus took that and he divided it. When he was given food as a resource and as a sustenance, he bowed his head and blessed the food. He said thank you to his heavenly Father for the food he was given. If you turn over just one page to Mark chapter 8, you'll see a similar story. Now, this is a different story. This is not the same story. Many people try to debunk the Bible by saying, "Oh, they messed up. They said 5,000 in one place, 4,000 in another. They said 5 loaves in one place and 7 loaves in another." No, this is 2 different stories, and I know that because Mark is the writer, and so he's telling 2 different stories. Mark chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, it says, "And he asked them, 'How many loaves have ye?' And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and look what it says, and gave thanks. And gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people." I believe it was Jesus' custom in Bible times to bless or to say thanks for the food that he was given. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. And Jesus did not take that lightly. Jesus did not take lightly that God the Father would pour out blessings on him. He would receive those while he was here on earth. And then in return, he was able to pray and talk to the Father. I believe as he was here for the first time, separated from his Father, the provisions came down and the prayers going up kept them close, though they were miles apart. Think about it. God and the Son, God the Father and God the Son had never been apart in all of time. Millions of years, billions of years, eternity as we like to call it. For all eternity, they had never been separated. And now, here we're at this time in the Bible when Jesus came to us, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us, and he comes to us, and now he and his Father are separated. And Jesus looked for an opportunity anytime he had it to talk to his Father. And food was that opportunity. God would send down blessings to him. And Jesus would say, oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, that you have given this unto me. When he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he said, thanks. When he fed 4,000 with 7 loaves, he said, thanks. At his last supper with his disciples, as he broke the bread and passed the cup, he said, thanks. As he ate with 2 of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he sat at meat and took bread and blessed it, according to Luke chapter 24. I say this today, if the Creator of all the world thought it was important to give thanks, then it's mighty important that we also give thanks for those things as well. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I believe whether we sip in coffee, whether we're getting a McDonald's Happy Meal or whether we're sitting at Longhorn enjoying the most expensive meal they have, I think we ought to lift our voice, close our eyes for just a minute and say, God, thank you for what you have provided for me today. We use it as a testimony when we go out to restaurants, but Jesus used it as an opportunity to talk to his Father and to give him glory. May we always give God glory for what he has provided for us. Thanksgiving's a big meal time. I'm looking forward to our Thanksgiving meal here. I'm looking forward to our family Thanksgiving, the food. But may we never enjoy all that food without slowing down long enough to say, God, thank you for what you put on my plate. God, thank you. If you're like us, when Thanksgiving's over, you throw away as much as you fix. How blessed are we? How blessed are we to have all that God has given us? His provision coming down followed by our prayer going up will guarantee a steady conversation throughout the day. You say, why is it so important to say my blessing every time? Because you're probably going to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper. And if nothing else, that's 3 times you got to talk to God today. 3 times you got to talk to God. Are you and I truly thankful for everyday stuff? Are we truly thankful for what God has given us? So we see, first of all, this morning that Jesus, when he was here, was thankful for food, for the food given. Then I want you to see, secondly, this morning, that Jesus was thankful for prayers heard. Jesus was thankful for food given, but Jesus was also thankful for prayers heard. If you have your Bible, look with me in John chapter 11, verse 41. And I'll have the verse on the overhead here if you get a little behind, but John chapter 11, verse 41, and Jesus is dealing with the story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And you remember the story, Lazarus was near unto death. They sent word to Jesus, and Jesus stayed where he was 4 more days. And then when he came, Mary and Martha met him in the roadway and said, Jesus, if you had have been here when we sent for you, our brother would not have died. And he said, well, take me to him. And they get to the tomb where Lazarus is, and Jesus' heart is just broken. He knows the pain of death. He knows what it's like to lose a friend. He knows the detriment and the trauma that comes with death. And in verse number 35, the Bible says Jesus wept. And Jesus wept for the one who had passed away. Jesus wept for their family, I believe. And then Jesus, he begins to go into action and he's going to make a move here. And in verse number 41, the Bible says this, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father," look at it, "I thank thee that thou hast heard me." I thank thee that thou hast heard me. So Jesus, when he was hanging out with his disciples and when he was teaching to the masses, he was thankful for food given. And then when it came to a real serious time, Jesus said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayer. That you have heard my prayer." You know, Jesus had not yet performed a miracle. Lazarus was still dead. The sisters, they were still crying and weeping, and Jesus was already saying thanks. Saying thanks. What are you saying thanks for? If I was Mary and Martha, I might have looked at Jesus and said, "What are you thanking for? Our brother's dead. What are you saying thanks for? Our brother had passed away." And Jesus, to be honest, if you had been here 4 days when we sent for you, none of this might have ever happened. And Jesus said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayer." I believe as Jesus set the perfect example of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 when Paul said, "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You know, we tend to only say thanks if it works out. "God, I need this job." And when it don't work out, we go, "Well, I guess prayer don't work." When's the last time we bowed our head and said, "God, before I ask you for anything, I want to thank you for what you gave me yesterday, and I want to thank you in advance for what I'm about to ask you for. God, I want to thank you for hearing me. I need this job, but God, I thank you that you heard me, because that means you're going to work all things for my good. That means that if I get this job, it'll be by your will, and if you keep me from getting this job, that means you've got something better for me. God, I thank you that you have heard my prayer today." Man, what a blessing it is to say thanks unto God. But Jesus said thanks because the Father had heard him. Listen, the gratitude in our heart should certainly come out of when prayers are answered. I think when prayers are answered, we ought to say, "God, thank you. Thank you for meeting that need. Thank you for putting food on our table. Thank you for providing for my family in this way." But it should thrill our hearts just to know that our prayer is heard in the throne room of heaven. Think about that for just a minute. Our prayer is heard. When you bow your head to say thanks for the food, when you bow your head at night to say, "God, thank you for the day, watch over us through the night, now I lay me down to sleep." When you say your prayer in church service, when you say your prayer at work, we can rest assured that God is truly listening to us. Jesus said, "Thank you, Father, that you heard me." What a thought. Let me just remind you that God is not sitting in the control room of heaven pushing knobs and turning buttons. You know, God's not in heaven saying, "Cue the rain. You know, let it snow, let it snow." God's not in heaven working all those things out. You know what God's doing? God's sitting on the very throne of grace. And he's listening. He's listening for his children. He's asking for his children. He's begging his children. He's wanting his children to call unto him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee." What a promise from the Word of God that if we will call unto him, he will answer us. And when we call unto him, he'll hear and answer our prayer. Today, we can say, like Jesus, "Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayer." Don't ever go to bed thinking, "Well, I bet God didn't even hear me today. Well, I bet God got too many things on his plate to be listening to little old me." Hey, do just like Jesus. Say, "God, I thank you that you hear me. I thank you that you're big enough. I thank you that you're small enough. I thank you that you're busy enough, but I thank you that you're settled enough. God, I thank you that you have all resources at your disposal. God, I thank you that you have all power in your hand. And God, I know that you can hear me, and I thank you for that." Shouldn't that make a difference in how much we pray? To think that every time we pray, God hears us. Don't you think that should make a difference in how often we pray? If you're like me, you're probably guilty of praying when you really need something. You know, we pray We pray when we find out somebody had a heart attack, but we seldom pray when we find out somebody's got the common cold. Ah, let it run its course. Why not pray? We pray when we need a whole set of tires, but we rarely pray when we just have a nail in a tire. Why? It's just $10, $15, get it fixed. See what I'm saying? We ought to pray more often, realizing that God hears our prayer. We pray and God hears. So we see that Jesus was thankful for food given. Then we see that Jesus was thankful for prayers answered. And then number three today, I want you to see that Jesus was thankful for salvation provided. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And here we are the night before Jesus is betrayed. We're getting close to the cross. We're getting close to when Jesus would give His life a ransom for many. He's at the Last Supper. Some call it the Lord's Supper. But this is the last time that He and His disciples will gather around a table, and He's breaking bread with them. He's passing the cup, and He's giving some last words of instruction. And in verse number 23, He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread." Verse 24 on the screen, "And when He had given thanks, and when He had given thanks, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Now the night that Jesus was betrayed, this is the night He was born for. A lot of times people think, well, they snuck up on Jesus and arrested Him. No, this is the night He was born for. Ah, they finally got Jesus. He had ducked so many times and got away, but they finally got Jesus. Oh no, this is the night He was born for. 33 years after being born an earthly baby, 33 years later, He's now arrested, betrayed, and He knows that His betrayal and arrest will lead to His body. His body, don't miss that, His body being torn apart at the whipping post. They were going to whip Him with the cat of nine tails. And the Bible says 40 stripes save one. In other words, 39 stripes and nine tails on that cat of nine tails with bone and glass and other things hitting Him on the back. And Jesus' very body was ripped apart at the whipping post. He knows that this arrest will lead Him to bloody Calvary, and this is the place where His body will be nailed three different places on the cross, through His feet and through His hands, and Jesus' very body was nailed to that cross. His body, don't miss it, His body would be pierced through with a sword. The soldiers came to break the legs of the three criminals, the one on the left, the one on the right, and Jesus in the middle, and they would break their legs so that they couldn't push up anymore and gasp for air. And when they came to Jesus, they said, "He's already dead," and they pierced Him in His side. And the Bible says that blood and water burst forth. And on that night, Jesus holds up a piece of bread, and He said, "This is My body. This represents My body that is broken for you." And what does the Bible say? And He gave thanks. And He gave thanks. How in the world could somebody who was facing the cross, who was facing the whipping post, who was facing arrest, who was facing the mock trial, who was facing taking the pain and taking the sin of all man, of all mankind on his back, how could that man stand before his disciples and say, "Father, I give thanks. I give thanks"? The reason is because He was thankful that He, in His body, could provide salvation for you in your body. Him in His body could provide salvation for you in your body. And on that night, He said, "Oh, Father, thank You that I get to have a small part in this salvation for the whole world." What an experience. What a night that must have been for all of those men. If the one who was to be broken like bread could say thanks to God, how much more should we say thanks unto Him for the broken Son of God? if the one who was broken said thanks? Let me say it this way. If the one who was broken said thanks, those of us who've been healed and put back together, how much more should we say thank you? Oh God, thank you that you have healed us and saved us and done such a wonderful work in our life. And it's all because of the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd just like to say publicly to God this morning, I'm thankful for His salvation. I'm thankful for the blood. I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful for His death on the cross that brought me life. I'm thankful for freedom that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ because of His death. I'm thankful for the relationship that I now have with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that He has gone to prepare a place for me. I'm thankful that it cost me zero. It didn't cost me anything to have a home in heaven. What a deal we get when we met the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to say I thank the Lord, and I hope you'll thank the Lord with me today. We have so much to thank the Lord for. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything. In everything. If Christ was thankful for these things, shouldn't we be? Food given. Prayers heard. Salvation provided. Shouldn't we be thankful for those things? Listen, if you'll be thankful for those things, you'll be thankful for the same things Jesus was thankful for. 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." You say, "I want to walk in the footsteps of my old man." That's okay. "I want to walk in the footsteps of my mama. I want to be just like my mama." That's okay. "I want to walk in the footsteps of a pro athlete." It's okay to have that ambition. "I want to walk in the footsteps of this business person." That's okay. Listen, in all that, let me just encourage you, walk in His steps. Walk in His steps. He says that you should follow His steps. And if His steps were steps of gratitude, how should we walk? This Thanksgiving month, I just want to encourage you to be thankful unto Him. And bless His name. You know, we use phrases not as popular now as it used to be, but WWJD, what would Jesus do? Anybody still got a bracelet? Anybody got a bracelet on? Anybody got a bracelet on that says WWJD? All right, we moved past that then. I thought you might still have a Walkman. But you know what? Years ago that came out, WWJD. Everybody was doing, what would Jesus do? And it's important that we do think of that from time to time. It was a novelty. It was a phase. But it is something we ought to think about daily. What would Jesus do? We say, "I want to be more like Jesus." We say, "I want to be a good Christian." And I think we ought to all endeavor to be a good Christian. And my thought is, if Jesus would say thanks, if being more like Jesus means I say thanks more, and if I want to be a good Christian, according to what we've said this morning, I need to be more thankful, then what should we leave here endeavoring to be? More thankful. Man, we ought to just endeavor to be more thankful than ever before. You say, "Ah, Brother Craig, you don't understand. Last year liked to wipe me out." I understand it completely. "Brother Craig, it liked to took our business. Brother Craig, it liked to took my sanity. Brother Craig, it liked to took our family." Or it did take a family member. Whatever the situation is, "Brother Craig, it's been rough. We've had a rough go. So I don't have very much to thank God for." Let me say this. Just thank God for those few things I mentioned this morning. Food. You got something to eat every day. Thank God that He hears our prayers. And thank God that you're born into the family of God. What else could there be? What else could there be? Perhaps you struggle with giving thanks like Christ did because your heart is different than His. It's not a judgmental statement. It's just the fact of the matter is, if your heart's like Christ, you'll probably be more thankful. If your heart's away from Christ, your heart will be more fleshly or more carnal. But when we have the heart that Christ has, then I think that thankfulness and thanksgiving will just flow out. But maybe today you don't have the heart of Christ. And it's tough to have such a thankful Savior living inside of you and gratitude not come out. Let me say that again. It's difficult. to have such a thankful Savior living inside of you. You say, I'm born again. I know when Jesus came into my heart. Why do we grumble so much? Does He not live in us? Does He live in us or not? And if He lives inside of us, this thankful Savior, the one who said, thank you for the food, thank you for the prayers, thank you that I get to give myself a ransom for many. If we have this thankful Savior living inside of us, shouldn't thanksgiving come out of our mouth? Shouldn't thanksgiving overflow from our heart? Shouldn't thanksgiving come from our fingertips? Perhaps today you've never met this Savior. Can I just say, if you've never met Jesus personally, you'll never appreciate the gifts of life. I work for my food. I work for my house. I work for my whatever. Listen, we do, and He gives us the strength to do it. But the verse we read earlier, all good gifts come from Him. And nothing wrong with turning that unto Him and saying, God, You have blessed me with a good business. You have blessed me with strength. You have blessed me with knowledge. You have blessed me with an eye to do this. You have blessed me with athletic ability. You have blessed me with whatever. And we ought to just give it to Him. But you'll never appreciate the gifts of life till you know the provider. I'd say secondly this morning, you'll never appreciate the hearing of prayers until you meet the one who hears them all. And you'll never truly appreciate the salvation given to man until you receive this salvation.